Wholesaling Studios, powered by RumbleOn.com. It's time for Talking with TD.
Touchdown, Tennessee!
The latest on the Two-Tone Blue with ESPN's Teron Davenport.
Put up a shut-up, Teron.
This is Nashville's best sports talk.
ESPN.
102.5 The Game.
Here we go. You are now talking with TD. Another edition. Training camp is inching closer and closer, so we're going to get into that. And just some of the things that have transpired over this offseason with ESPN's Dan Graziano. We're going to talk Titans. John Glennon has found a new home, so we'll make sure that we get into that. And it's going to be good to have him back in the mix. So we'll get into some of the things that he's looking to do Titan-wise this upcoming season. And like always, you're going to get my thoughts. You're going to get Elijah's thoughts. Elijah is over there hitting the switches, making this thing work. So first things first, since this is a media-driven guest line, courtesy of German Performance Options, we're going to make sure that we get into just some of the access things with camp. And it's really interesting. We actually had a media conference call recently, and we went over some of the things to be expected. And I think the first thing that we have to understand is this is unprecedented. Mm-hmm. So it's going to require patience, and it's going to require a degree of audibling. So that's the first thing.
Yeah, you have to start with the understanding that this is not normal. It's something no one's ever had to deal with. And let's hope, fingers crossed, pray, whatever you do to invoke good luck, that this, we never have to deal with this again. And yeah, we're already going to have to, we saw it with, obviously, there's going to be no fan access. Well, fans, it's, they're not their job to actually be at these games. Well, we have to figure out what media access is going to be like. But we also don't even know what teams are going to have, like certain, I guess, assets of these teams are going to have access to, because the NFL hasn't necessarily been, I guess, as well-rounded in terms of coming up with a concrete plan for everybody. So it's already tricky to begin with. This is where it gets trickier, because not only do you have to figure out a plan of how, like, us media are going to cover this, but we're also don't have the luxury of time anymore.
Yeah, so here's the way it's going to, for the most part, play out. There's going to be access to camp. It doesn't look like we'll have face-to-face, of course, with social distancing, pressers with Mike Vrabel. That's all going to be virtual. So that's something you guys will still be able to hear us ask the questions to coach. It's going to be different from the traditional setting, but we'll have those. The big thing is the individual player conversations, and that is something that we're working to be able to get. But this is one of those seasons where, you know what, those in-depth pieces are going to be much more to do, much more difficult to do. So there's going to be much more that you have to do in order to make it work. It's a tough situation. It's tough sledding, but we'll figure it out. The other thing is access for games. As far as away games are concerned, that's still a work in progress. Not even sure if there's going to be travel for media or not. The bad thing, really, it's always so much better to be able to watch the game from an all 22 perspective, where you can see everything happening, because then that's when you can see Khalif Raymond wide open on a route down the field, but you saw Tannehill make a quicker read and get it to AJ Brown on a crosser or something like that. That's where you can see why Harold Landry and Vic Beasley were able to collapse on the quarterback, because Adoree Jackson, Christian Fulton, and Malcolm Butler had things locked down in the secondary with Kevin Byard over top. You can't see all of that when you're watching the TV copy. So it is a bit more difficult to do. Not having that is tough. But then even just the access in the locker room afterwards. There is nothing like being in the locker room after a game and being able to pull a guy aside and say, you know, when this and this happened, what were you thinking? How did you make that adjustment? And just to hear them recall it that quickly, it's great content. So unfortunately, those are things that are going to be a bit more difficult to do. But we and I keep using more difficult to do because that really is the theme for the media's job. But you know what? You make it work. So I'm just curious how everything is going to work out. Like I said, we're going to have different tiers. There's different degrees not even degrees, because everyone will pretty much have the same access as far as those of us who are there on site. Mm-hmm. But it's something that it requires sacrifice, and we're going to have to come to some type of compromise as far as what it is that we're doing performance-wise when it comes to our work. When I say compromise, I'm not meaning I intend to have work be any less extensive than it was. My goal and my objective, my duty, is to continue to provide outstanding work. So that's what I'm going to do. And it's just going to be a little bit more difficult to do it.
Yeah, you're a seasoned veteran at this too. This isn't like your first rodeo in terms of like covering the NFL. And for me personally, this is really my first season getting to have a media type access, you know, with the NFL, working with the Tennessee Titans. So I will ask you, I'll flip the roles here on the show. Usually you're the one asking the questions, but we're going to do a little role reversal here. And I'll be the question asker. For you, for someone who specializes in making good relationships with players, being one at one point in time, being a football player at one point in time, and doing what you do in terms of like play breakdowns and everything that you provide, you know, on this show, what's going to be the biggest difficulty, I guess, for you? And what kind of adjustment, I think, are you going to have to make? Because obviously, like, you provide content that not a lot of people in this market can because of your access and your relationship with players. What does that do, I guess, for you?
Yeah, it's going to be tougher because you're not having that opportunity to have the one-on-one conversations. A lot of the unique content and a lot of the more extensive content comes from one-on-one conversations. For example, the story I did about Derrick Henry getting his work ethic from his grandmother. Mm-hmm. That didn't come from asking Derrick a question in a media scrum. It came from setting it up, having one-on-one at his locker, talking extensively. Those are stories that are going to be a bit harder to do because of the fact that you don't have that ability to just, hey, you know what? I know you may not have time today, but in a couple of days when you do have time, let's have this conversation.
Right.
And being able to have that one-on-one, that person-to-person, in-face conversation is always something that is good for any people. Right. And it's especially the case for guys who may not be more suitable, or not even suitable, but more comfortable talking in a crowd. And it's just like anything. You talk to someone one on one, you have a better conversation with them than if you talk to them in a group of many. So that's going to be the biggest challenge. But there are ways to get around that. I'm not going to share my ideas because I've learned that that's not really the best thing to do, because you know,
you
other
go
people
full Bill
use
Belichick.
It. Yeah,
yeah,
I got to go full Bill Belichick, but we'll find ways to get around it.
Yeah, for sure. And at the end of the day, too, like, this is going to be a unique experience, and not just an experience, but like a challenge too. This will also make, you know, an incredible documentary or book one day about this whole doing life during the COVID-19 pandemic, doing sports during the COVID-19 pandemic. And even though it is a little bit of a hurdle, I think content-wise, I think sports fans, people that consume shows like this, are still going to be in good shape, because this is the time to get creative. And if there's a show on here that, around here, that gets creative, you're listening to it right now. So that's a good opportunity.
That's right. 2020 is going to continue to be a challenge, but it's all good because, you know, you make do. And one guy who definitely made do is our next guest. So we're going to go ahead and go to a break. Before we do, definitely subscribe. Talking with TD, check us out on iTunes, Spotify, Google Podcasts, anywhere you get your podcast. Let's get that subscription going. Let's get those ratings, the review, 5-star preferably. But any positive feedback, any feedback overall is great. We'll be right back.
This is AJ Brown, and you're talking with TD.
We're going to let it play a little bit. My posse's on back from the break, talking with TD. I had to use this music, man. We had to go back to some OG music because we have an OG on, and it applies even more because our next guest, his posse is definitely on Broadway. John Glennon, now of Broadway Sports Media Group. What's going on, man?
Not too much, TD. Appreciate you having me on.
For sure. And I told you I was going to have a little something to play, so I wanted to, you know, lead us right into your new venture. And you're back in the mix, which is a great thing. Broadway Sports Media Group, how did that whole process come about for you?
Yeah, it was a very timely situation because, of course, you know, early June, the Athletic had the big layoffs. They let about 50 people go because of the COVID situation, what it was doing to sports. And unfortunately, I was one of the people who drew the short straw. But right about that time, Mike Herndon, who, you know, probably a lot of Titans fans are familiar with from Music City Miracles, reached out and said he and a number of other guys, a lot of them from Music City Miracles, a lot of them from various Titans blogs and websites, were getting together and putting together a new website called Broadway Sports, who is going to cover, you know, all the local major pro sports teams. And Mike asked if I wanted to jump in with him on that. And I said, yeah, it sounds like a good call. And it's a, you know, it's a perfect setup for me because I can write about Titans. I can write about the Predators and probably a little bit of Nashville SC at some point as well. So it's been good. Just the last, you know, it's been live for a couple days, but been writing for a little bit before then, and get to get those the rust out of the fingers and get the name back on Twitter, get back in circulation again.
Yeah, it's a good thing, and you're kind of back to your original role with the Athletics. So it's cool to get to see you just kind of branch out. Because I know with the Preds, you have your book that came out. You can go ahead and plug that for anybody listening that, you know, hasn't seen that.
That's a fine idea, TD. I appreciate that. Yeah, I do have a Preds book out there. 100 things Predators fans should know and do before they die. And you know, I was the first guy to cover the Predators for the Tennessee, and I was the beat guy for about a decade or so. And, you know, this book has all kinds of stories, not only from that time, but all the way through up until a year or so ago. Really gives you an idea of the franchise, probably a lot of stories that people haven't heard. You know, I got to know players and coaches over the years and wrote about that quite a bit. So I think it's an entertaining kind of read, 100 different little, very short chapters for Preds fans who are looking to know, you know, as much as they can about the franchise.
Yeah, make sure you guys go ahead and girls check that out, especially if you're a transplant like myself, who knew nothing about the Predators before you got here. So this will give you opportunity to sound a little smart in those water cooler quotation mark conversations. So make sure you check that out. One of the things that you said that kind of segues perfectly into something I want to get into is you said over the years you got to know a lot of Predators players. And obviously that came from conversations there at the locker or just in different situations, one-on-ones, those type of things. How do you look at having to do your job now, right? Covering the Titans with how this situation, this COVID has put us in just all kinds of new, unprecedented circumstances.
Yeah, it's going to be quite a challenge for you and I and everybody else that's involved, you know, because our you know, safe spot, our comfort zone, where we get 90% of our information is in that locker room talking to players almost every day after practice or, you know, catching the coaches a live press conference there. And, you know, it's going to be a real big difference this year. You know, I think all of us pro football writers are pushing for as much individual access as we can get, you know, but it remains unclear how much we'll get beyond, you know, two or three players that the team kind of serves up each day to the media as a whole. And while certainly it's good to talk to a few players in a group setting, you know, I think what makes all of us journalists good is that we all like to find, you know, unique angles or, you know, interesting stories when we maybe get a player alone or so that aren't, and so we're not writing the same stories that everyone else is. So I think this year is going to be a big challenge in that regard, to try to find stories that are unique, as opposed to writing on, you know, what a lot of people will be writing on each day. It's going to be a different environment and a pretty good test for us, I think.
Yeah, no doubt about it. We're talking to John Glennon of Broadway Sports Media. John, one of the other things that I want to talk to you about is this whole concept of running it back. And the Titans, they took some steps to make sure that they're in good shape to have the roster look a lot like it did last year. How do you feel that familiarity will help them this year as they work towards trying to get a Super Bowl?
Yeah, you know, I think, you know, especially offensively in terms of running it back, you know, there's a lot that the Titans have going for them. Obviously, they return almost the same crew, you know, with the absence of the starting right tackle, Jack Conklin, you know, and maybe, you know, Tajay Sharpe, a depth receiver who is, you know, very good at picking up, you know, first downs and very good on third downs, et cetera. It's going to be interesting, though. You know, maybe now, you know, the opponents have a little bit more time to study the Titans, have a little bit more time to study Ryan Tannehill, Arthur Smith, et cetera, after last year. So I think, you know, they're going to be a little bit more prepared than they were because, you know, really Ryan Tannehill, as we know, came in week 7 and just kind of he and Derrick Henry together just sort of lit this offense and took off. You know, if I wrote the other day on kind of the big three, Tannehill, Henry, and A.J. Brown, and sort of what their chances were of really running back the kind of numbers that they had last year, I think A.J. Brown, in my mind, is the best case for putting up at least as good a numbers as last year, because let's remember he played the first 6 games with Marcus Mariota, didn't have very good numbers at that point, and took off with Tannehill. There was clearly a great chemistry, and he put up the yardage and the touchdowns on just 52 catches last year, you know, over 1,000 yards. So I think if anything, we're going to see more catches from A.J. Brown and probably, you know, more touchdowns as well. The challenge for him will be, you know, can he match that same yards after catch that was incredible last year? That was, you know, really the best in the NFL. So we'll see if he can keep that going for the coming year. Derrick Henry, I think, is going to have another very good year. If I had to bet, you know, it's hard to bet on anyone going back-to-back 1,500. We all know how rare that is in general. And I think two factors, maybe, you know, the fact that they're working in somebody new at right tackle, whether that's Kelly, who is a veteran, or Isaiah Wilson, the rookie. You know, there's going to be some growing pains, I think, either way in that regard. So that might trim Henry a little bit. And then I think the addition, really, of Darrington Evans is going to, you know, be a good thing for the Titans, and that's going to lessen Henry's carries, I think, a little bit. He'll take a few carries away, at least. And I think that's better for Henry in the long run, but maybe he doesn't have the same kind of numbers. I think the hardest one to replicate of those three, the big three, if you will be Tannehill.
Yeah.
And you know, you and I have both written a ton of stories on not only how much better Tannehill looked last year than Marcus Mariota, but how the huge jump that Ryan Tannehill's numbers took from just the career that he'd had up to that point in Miami. And though I think it's a great fit he has in this system with Arthur Smith, and I think he's going to be have another very good season, boy, it's pretty tough to think that he could put up such incredible numbers again. You know, the 117.3 quarterback rating was just incredible, and you know, the yards per attempt, you know, a yard better than any other quarterback in the league. So I think that's going to be tough, but I think even if Ryan Tannehill slides, he's still going to have a very good year. So I think offensively, I think the Titans are pretty good shape to, you know, to run up some good numbers again.
Yeah, it's almost like Titans fans. I think the older ones, they're hoping for a reincarnation of Rich Gannon. Like, once he went to the Raiders, he suddenly was in the right situation, and you have an MVP season. So that's an excellent point there. Defensively, again, you've been in the locker room. You've seen just behind the scenes. You've seen at practice how things operate. How much of a loss is not having Logan Ryan and Jarrell Casey, guys who are clearly leaders on that defense? How much of a loss is that to them?
I think that that's something that, that's definitely going to have to be taken into account. And then you throw in, you know, another guy too in Wesley Woodyard, you know, who obviously wasn't playing as much as the other guys, but I still think real great leader. You know, he's been a captain every year and, you know, of all his long career in the NFL. So that, you know, some guys are going to have to, as they say, you know, step forward in that regard. And maybe, you know, it's a guy like a Rashawn Evans, you know, or a Jayon Brown, you know, guys like that. Even a Daquan Jones has kind of been, you know, he's not a real loud vocal guy, but I think he's a very well-respected guy and has, you know, sort of taken on more of a leadership role. You know, I think certainly both of your safeties, both of the Titans safeties, Byard and Vaccaro, are very well respected and you know, are going to have to take that much more control as well. But that's a good chunk. You know, Logan Ryan, Casey, Woodyard, guys who are not just good players, but really good characters, good professionals, set a great tone in there. So, yeah, we'll have to see how well these some of the younger guys can come forward.
And last thing for me is in regards to the coaching staff. We've seen Dean Pease. If you remember during camp when he caught the punt and how everybody jumped all over. It's just so clear that there was just like, that's Pop-Pop. You know what I mean? Everybody just loved him. And 47 years in the business, it's hard to replace that. How do you see this defense as far as the game plan and the play calling? How do you see that coming into fruition?
Yeah, to me, you know, I think because of kind of this, you know, very much shortened off season and missing off season in a lot of regards, I think, you know, maybe if we'd had a regular off season and we'd seen all the OTAs and, you know, mini camp, you know, so forth, maybe, you know, a guy like either Jim Haslett, you know, or a Shane Bowen, you know, maybe they get enough hands-on ability during that time to show, you know, that they could have been or could be, you know, the play caller to step in front of Dean Pease. I kind of think that the fact that there was so much missing kind of leads me to think that Mike Vrabel will do most of that work, you know, just speculation, but you know, he obviously, you know, is the most familiar with the entire system. And, you know, he played a role in the play calling certainly before with Dean Pease. So I kind of sense that that's what they'll be doing this year. And I know you have written about that as well, that, you know, there was kind of a sense among the staff that Mike Vrabel would take a larger role in the play calling there. So that seems to make a lot of sense to me. But, you know, the defense, unlike the offense, there are a few more challenges there on the coaching staff. You know, we saw two or three assistants move on in addition to Dean Pease. So it would have been valuable to have, you know, obviously some OTA time and some extra more time in the building for these guys to get familiar. So we'll see if that makes things a little more difficult for the D coming up.
Excellent point, because there's a lot of energy that was lost in Coach Kerry Coombs and Tyrone McKenzie, man. It was fun watching those guys, but they've moved on. So there's some figuring out to do. We've already got some things figured out, and that's that John Glennon is back in the mix. So it's a great thing for everyone in Titans media and every Nashville fan of sports, because John's his tentacles are going to reach out to all the sports teams once again. So I appreciate you coming on. Glad that you've landed in a great place, and let's keep it going.
I appreciate that, TD. Appreciate you having me on and give me a little pub and a shout out there, man.
For sure. It's only right, man. You take it easy.
Okay, you do.
Hey, man, this is Kevin Byard, and I'm talking with TD.
Yeah. I love that beat, man. OC, time's up. I picked that one because, you know, for some guys, time is almost up, right? This preseason, you're not having any games as a result of the NFLPA and NFL meetings this week. That means some tough times for some guys that are on the back end of the roster. They can end up getting released. They could end up not even getting the shot. You look at, like, the Eagles, for example. They released Arizona quarterback, now receiver, Khalil Tate. Guy never even got a chance to show off what he could do. He was one of seven guys they had to release. So I want to get into just some of the thoughts on the preseason. And for me, you know, when I look at this Titans roster, there are guys on here, you know, whether it be a veteran like Ibrahim Campbell, you know, a Philly guy, by the way.
Hey, get an eye for the Philly guys.
Yeah, got to, you know. But there are guys like that. You know, there are guys like, you know, Rashard Davis, right? There are guys like Kenneth Durden. You know, these are players that I feel, especially Rashard Davis, I think if all things remain equal and he actually had a full training camp and preseason to show what he could do, I think he would be a part of the roster. Now, teaser, he's someone that I do have on the roster in my roster projections. But at the same time, opportunities are much more limited for some of these guys.
Yeah, and that's my initial thought was that when I heard that the news was going to be there will be no preseason games, because not only are there going to be limited opportunities, there will be no opportunities for 320 players. 320. The 10 spots per 32 teams, 320 players aren't even going to get that opportunity. And we saw Khalil Tate be a casualty of that. And that's really the worst part about it. And we'll never know, I guess, who, because there's always one or two guys every year that emerge from training camps that weren't high or either undrafted or like fifth, sixth round picks that are going to end up trying to make the team. Seventh round picks. One of the examples in my mind, of course, Khalif Raymond was a training camp star. Who knows if he would have gotten a shot if this happened in 2019 as opposed to 2020? Who knows if we're still talking about the Titans in the AFC Championship game because of some of his contributions, which were really big contributions. Victor Cruz is another one of those guys. He was a late draft pick, wasn't That's much expected. Yeah. That's my favorite example because how did people get their eyes on Victor Cruz? Because Victor Cruz had some monster preseason games. And you,
that one against the Jets.
Yeah, it was like two or three touchdowns.
Yeah, he was wearing number three.
Yeah, exactly. Like, and it's one of those guys. It's one of those games too, because like we watch preseason games because there's like nothing else on. It's your first taste of football, and you will watch anything. You will watch practice squads. You'll watch the Lions and Browns practice squads playing against each other because we have that major itch that we need to scratch for football content. So your eyes are on these guys as well. So the preseason games are their exposure because not everyone can go out to training camps. Not everyone can see the practices that the coaches are, but when you have, you're someone like Victor Cruz who got that opportunity on television to in a game type setting, which is obviously what you want to recreate as much as possible, and that's the whole purpose for a lot of these preseason games, and to be able to show out like that and earn your spot on the roster. Who knows what would have happened if he never had that opportunity? If Victor Cruz's rookie season was 2020.
Well, you know, another guy that ended up being a Hall of Famer, I mean, Terrell Davis. It wasn't until, you know, that preseason game, I think it was, actually it was an exhibition game in Japan. And it was against the 49ers, Broncos versus 49ers. And he blasted someone on kickoff coverage. And next thing you know, you saw him begin to get worked into the offense as a running back. You know, he came out of Georgia as a running back, but he made his mark on special teams.
Right.
And that's the thing. There's just a certain, like, practice is, if you love football, you know, practice is going to be fun. But obviously, when you're going through it, you know, back when I was in college, you know, two a day. So you're going at 8 a.m. and then you're getting your break and you're coming back at, you know, 1, 2 o'clock. It was different, right? Because you're just like, oh, man, it's burning up out here. We got practice twice. So even though you love football, it's a little bit tougher. But even now, you know, these guys practicing out there in that weather, practice is not the same as a game. There's just something about being in those game situations that turns up the intensity for even the least competitive football player. So that being said, a lot of these guys, you'll see them do something on game day that you didn't see them do in practice. And it's like, whoa, where was that? And that's the thing I hate about not having preseason games, because you don't have that, whoa, where was that moment? You look at even, you know, another guy who actually earned the starting job in preseason games. Well, two of them, Dak Prescott and Russell Wilson.
Yeah.
Both of these guys, because of their competent play in preseason as rookies, were able to earn starting jobs. The Seahawks at the time had signed Matt Flynn. Big money. Ended up being the backup. The Cowboys had Tony Romo. We know Romo had the back situation, but they were comfortable with Dak Prescott as their quarterback because of what he did in the preseason. So these games are very important. I think Jeff Saturday on NFL Live recently, he said it best when he said it's unintended consequences. Whereas, and he's a good example because he's lived both sides of the coin. He was an undrafted free agent. He went on to become one of the better centers in the last 10 years, right? When he was one of those better centers and a regular and a perennial Pro Bowler, he didn't want to be in preseason games. But when he was fighting a claw and to get to that point, he knew he needed those. So when he said unintended consequences, what he's saying is for guys like Kevin Byard, for guys like Adoree Jackson, Derrick Henry, especially Derrick Henry, because he doesn't run the ball in the preseason, nor should he have to. But these guys are not for preseason. And I'm not speaking for them. I'm talking of their status, not Derrick Henry personally, Kevin Byard personally, or Adoree Jackson personally. None of them said they didn't want to have a preseason game. So I don't want my words to be misconstrued. What I am saying is guys of that status typically don't want preseason games because why? Everyone gets paid the same in the preseason. During the regular season, everyone isn't paid the same per game. So I don't blame them for not wanting to play that game. But I do understand the guy who is at the bottom of the roster just waiting for that opportunity to show what he could do. I understand him wanting to get in there and show what he's able to do as a professional player.
And the potential injury thing, too, is another thing. Like my biggest example for stars not playing in the preseason ever is the Michael Vick injury. You lost one of the best quarterbacks in the league at the time for an entire year because you had to scramble him out in a preseason game. So I definitely understand why your starters, guys who have solidified starting spots, are against preseason games, and why that, like, the news of zero preseason games is the greatest thing in the world to them. But the platform that the preseason provides some of these guys is huge. I mean, obviously, it's make or break for your career because these guys only have a couple, like a year or two window. Some it's even just 1 year window to break into the league and find a team that's going to believe in them. And here's the thing, too. Here's another unintended consequence is obviously there's not going to be joint training camps either. These training camps are only teams. So talent evaluators, and I mean, you talked about this off air a little bit, for guys like John Robinson or scouts, it's going to be a lot harder because they can't just travel to another team's training camp to watch other guys play. Like in a preseason game, a player can show out, have a big game, and even if the team doesn't keep them, another team can swoop in because they have the tape of what they've seen in that game. I mean, one team's trash is another team's treasure. But you're not going to get that. So guys are not only losing an opportunity for one team, they're losing a tryout for all 32 teams in general. And I know that no one likes to watch, you know, starting quarterback matchups of Ty Detmer versus Jim Sorgi. No one wants that. But for these guys, too, for a lot of these guys, for even last year, like your Darren Wallers for the Raiders, we saw on Hard Knocks, Keelan Doss. It is a national tryout for the entire NFL. So it means more than just, you know, trying to make one team. It's trying to be seen.
And that's the thing that's lost on a lot of people who may not have that understanding is, it is an audition for all teams. No one is able to watch another team's training camp practices. Mm-hmm. So you're not seeing that guy who is burning things up in practice. You're not seeing him get to showcase that on a preseason game. But then conversely, the thing that's interesting that I also like is you'll have a guy sometimes on a team really doing outstanding work in practice, and a team will not play him in the preseason because they want to tuck him and release him and just have him pass through waivers and go on to the practice squad and then just still have the rights to him. So it's crazy how that balance works. One of the other things with not having preseason games that's very important to point out is I firmly believe the intensity in practice is going to be elevated because guys are going to need to make sure that they have that, I don't know what's
the right
word.
A game atmosphere. It's like recreating, I guess, a game atmosphere.
Not that. They need to make sure that they have that like they're cultivating that aggressiveness and
edge.
That edge that they need during games. And practice, you know, I think there's going to be more live sessions of practice, mm-hmm. right, whereas there's not going to be as much thud. You look at, like, especially, like, for linebackers or even, you know, in the Titans' case, safeties like Kenny Vaccaro who have to get their run fits. And you got to get up in there and be able to make a hit. And that's one of the things about Vaccaro. You mentioned you look at training camp, right? That training camp of 2018 – the first practice that he had was over there at Nissan Stadium. It's just jerseys and helmets, right? No pads. The second practice I saw him, they were in uppers. And let me tell you something. He came down and he filled against the run and he blasted. I don't know who the back was that tried to block him, but he blasted him. Whoever it was at fullback, he blasted him. And I said, wow. This dude really like he's about that I'm bringing the wood on every play, and that just kind of helped me further understand what Vaccaro is as a player. And just the same, being in that situation where you have to prove quickly, you're going to be much more physical and much more aggressive, and I think that's going to be good for some of these veterans who have to get those. You got to knock that rust off. You got to get – your body has to – it takes time to adjust to the physicality of an actual game, you know. So practices are going to be much more intense. But, hey, look, I'm going to be watching them. I'll definitely make sure that we give you as much as we can from a reporting standpoint. I will say, do understand, we are not able to do live tweets. So a lot of those updates that you guys really like that I used to do – that I've done in past camps, it's not going to happen. I will do as much as I can to give you information post-practice. We'll continue to do our five things that stood out, that type of wrap-up from each practice, so definitely look forward to that. But it's going to be fun. I kind of like that we'll be able to see guys go just a little bit harder during practice, so I can't wait. It's going to be happening probably weeks away from that because, you know, the guys are going to go in, they're going to get tested, and they go back and get tested. They have to have X amount, I think it's 2 positive tests before they actually could go out and get in fully in the mix of things. So we'll see how that works. There's going to be a ramp-up period, and then you're going to be able to finally see the guys go ahead and go hard. So I'm looking forward to it, man, but it's just going to require patience, and that's pretty much the understanding with this whole season. So we're going to go ahead and go to a break. Like we said, continue to subscribe, rate, review, Talking with TD, iTunes, Spotify, Google Podcasts. We'll be right back.
This is Derrick Henry. You're now talking with TD.
All right, back from the break. German Performance Hotline. We are going to bring in Dan Graziano. And the reason why I play this music is because my teammate Dan right here, he's been navigating through the tricky waters of this offseason and the pandemic. So I figured it's only right to introduce him to that music.
I appreciate that. It's been tricky. I feel like only a week or so ago, but it's actually about 4 months we were doing the CBA stuff. And now it's like all the same people going through something, these negotiations on how to try and get just 1 year going. So it's been a little weird.
Yeah, but, you know, the good thing is you've been one of my go-to guys. Anytime I want to make sure I'm up to date and get an understanding, I always make sure I check out your spots on NFL Live, Get Up, even, you know, your tweets and everything. So I wanted to shout you out for just the awesome work you did as far as covering this.
Well, I appreciate that very much.
So let's get into it, right? First things first. You had the NFLPA and NFL meetings recently, and they've come to somewhat of a conclusion. I just find it crazy that we've had all this time to get stuff worked out, and they're just now in the 11th hour. It's almost like Derrick Henry's contract. You know, they're just at the last minute getting stuff worked out. So what is your understanding just in general as far as what it is that they came to a conclusion of?
Yeah, we're hoping it works out like Derrick Henry's contract, not like, you know, Dak Prescott's, right? Like the deadline spurs action sometimes, and hopefully that's the case here. Look, it's moving very quickly, and there's developments every day. So, I mean, you know, we're sitting here on we're talking, you and me, on Wednesday. So at this point, the players and owners are in agreement about testing protocols, about no preseason games. It looks like training camp rosters are going to be 80 instead of 90 this year maximum. And now they're going back and forth. As of the moment, they're going back and forth on what the procedures will be if guys want to opt out, what will happen to their contracts, how much they'll get paid if they have to opt out because they're in a high-risk category and they're not comfortable playing because they're worried about contracting the virus. And then the other thing is the procedure for how training camp will work in terms of a ramp-up period. You know, the players want a long three-week stretch of nothing but strength and conditioning because a lot of them are coming off off seasons where, you know, teams aren't going to be able to figure out what kind of shape they're in until they get there. You know, it's not like you've been able to go to the gym. No one's been on a practice field or at a team facility working out since last season ended. So I think that's those are two big issues that as we sit here, you and I talking on Wednesday, that are still hanging over the thing. And then it moves on after that to the overarching financial issues of what's going to happen to the salary cap here going forward as a result of the revenue they're going to lose this year.
And we're talking to Dan Graziano, ESPN, NFL insider. Dan, from a testing perspective, I'm assuming that, you know, the player, was it the players, they wanted daily testing, the owners weren't sure about that. So basically this result now is a compromise?
Mm-hmm. They test every day when they get there for 2 weeks, and then if after 2 weeks your team has a positive test rate below 5%, it goes to every other day testing. If it doesn't, it'll stay daily until it gets down under 5%. And if it's under 5% and it goes back over, then it goes back from every other day to daily. So basically what they're saying to the players is we'll test every day until we can show that it's relatively under control, at which point we'll cut back to every other day, and maybe by that point you'll be comfortable with that arrangement.
Do you think there was ever a point where the NFL season in itself was in doubt?
I think it still is, right? I mean, we don't know what's going to happen.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, if people show up at training camp and start practicing and start even, you know, start getting into the regular season and playing games, and there's a drastic spike and there's outbreaks around the league, and if things happen big picture around the country where, you know, people are shutting down states and cities again, if all that starts happening, then all bets are off. So I don't think anyone can have any degree of confidence about the start of the season. They're trying to put procedures in place to make sure they can play safely and responsibly, but they could get a week, a month, 2 months into this and figure out that they can't, which is obviously no one's hoping for that, but it is a possibility. So yeah, I don't think you can rule that out, even though it looks like they're just about ready to figure out a way to start training camps.
And with training camp starting, obviously the fans, they won't be able to be there. And it's unfortunate because for some fans, that's their only opportunity to get an up-close look at the teams. But when you look at just overall with the likelihood of no one being able to attend games, what do you make of that? How do you think that's going to impact some of the players?
Playing in front of empty stadiums with no fans yelling, I think it'll be interesting. I think because there are probably some guys, athletes, and this goes across the spectrum of all sports, there are probably some that feed off of that energy, right, to a greater extent than others. And it may be that there are guys that respond better to a quieter environment. So that'll be interesting to watch as it unfolds. And, again, other leagues are doing the same thing. So you do see some leagues, some of the European leagues, I think baseball's doing it, experimenting with piped in crowd noise. Mm-hmm. And that'll be interesting to see how that works and how effective that it sounds good on the broadcast, right? Like, I don't know how it'll sound to a player in the stadium playing the game, but I think they're trying to. I mean, this is unprecedented. Like, yeah, we're trying to figure out what how to do it right while we're dealing with something we never anticipated. So it is unfortunate. It's unfortunate for a lot of people. Like, yes, it's unfortunate fans won't get to go to training camps and probably games. It's unfortunate that, you know, training camp rosters are going to be 80 instead of 90 because that's 10 guys a team that might have had a shot and now don't. Like, all this stuff. But, I mean, this is the year 2020, and everyone's losing something, right? I mean, it's unfortunate that people didn't have their proms and their graduations and their weddings and, you know, funerals for their loved ones and all that kind of stuff. I mean, there's a lot of people giving up a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And I think these sports leagues are at least trying to put something on television that people will watch and find entertaining.
Yeah, that's an excellent point. It's definitely a year of sacrifice, right? And so much has been lost. So just the prospect of being able to have football or just sports in general for those of us who put so much into that as an escape is huge. When you look at just the financial part of it, though, obviously at some point, well, I'm not even going to say obviously. Hopefully at some point, you know, this thing is under wraps and we get back to things being the way it was at this time last year. But that being said, if it does get to that, how much do you think the financial aspects of this will impact the future as far as for the league and free agency and just the salary cap and just day-to-day functions?
It's going to have a major effect, and the question is for how long. So the owners and players are, I'm going to shock you here, they're in a disagreement on how to handle this, right? The owners are saying we're going to lose this amount of revenue this year as a result of empty stadiums or possibly canceled games. We want to, you know, put your salaries in escrow, a certain percentage of your salaries in escrow, take the hit this year, and then start pushing the salary cap back up as soon as we can into what we've become accustomed to as normal growth. And the players are saying, well, that's going to really crush a lot of guys and guys that might be out of the league by the time that salary cap starts going higher and higher again. And so why don't we come to an agreement where we project out the loss of revenue and then spread that out over several years and reduce the cap by a portion of that for whatever, 3, 4, 5, 6, whatever, how many. And so I think what you'll see is they'll come to a resolution at some point where they agree on a number of years that's probably more than one, and probably less than whatever it is the players are specifically asking for at this point. So, I mean, it will have an effect because salary cap growth will not happen at the anticipated level for at least some period of time. And there are contracts that obviously were signed and negotiated and agreed to at a time when there was an expectation that salary cap growth would continue by 10 or so million a year as we've become accustomed to. So there will have to be some adjustments made. There might have to be some cuts made along the way. I guess the Players Association right now is in a position of just trying to reduce the impact of that possibility on the immediate future.
How much do you see no preseason games? How much do you see that impacting just guys who are fifth rounders and less or guys who are undrafted free agents?
I mean, it's going to be tough, but you know, I think you're going to get to a point where regular season rosters are bigger than usual, or there's some kind of expanded practice squad or taxi squad, because there's a concern. What happens if multiple players on a team test positive on Saturday night and can't play Sunday? Well, we're going to need to be able to get some players from somewhere.
Yeah.
So I think while you're going to see smaller training camp rosters, somewhat ironically, you're probably going to see larger regular season rosters. So that's good news for the guys you're talking about. They may have a chance to stick closer and actually have a job of some sort, whereas in a normal year they might not. But yeah, I mean, look, it just gets back to what we were just talking about a minute ago. There's all kinds of issues. It will not be a normal year in any respect. And for the back of the roster guys that are trying to make a team, that's not going to be fair. And for the veterans that end up getting cut because they have to figure out the short-term salary cap impact, that's not going to be fair. And for the fact that coaches aren't going to have enough preparation time to get their teams ready, that first-year head coaches are not going to be able to put their programs in place and get to know their teams, and rookie quarterbacks are not going to be able to get their timing down with their receivers, and on and on and on and on. A lot of that's not going to be fair. But the alternative is to not play at all.
Right.
So what they're doing is they're trying to put an imperfect system in place to accommodate an imperfect world. and do the best that they can. And at this point, sitting here, we don't know if they will succeed, but in order to try, in order to get an NFL season in, the league, the coaches, the owners, the players, the fans, us in the media, everyone has to accept that there's going to be a lot going on that is very, very different and in other years would be considered unacceptable.
Very well stated. And before I let you go, I want to just refer back to NFL Live on Tuesday, the preseason matter meter. I can't, we're not doing video, so I can't have you pull up the whiteboard, you know, but we could still get your audio on it. What's the preseason matter meter for the Titans?
So the question was on that, how will this, the fact of a shortened training camp or an adjusted training camp affect this team? How much from 1 to 10?
Right.
So I was like, it was 10 for the Bengals because of rookie quarterback and all this. So the Titans, I mean, to me, and you correct me if I'm wrong, Teron, but I mean, there's a lot of continuity there, mm-hmm. right? I mean, you're bringing back the same quarterback. You're bringing back the same coaching staff. I mean, I know every team has changes, but it doesn't seem like the changes in Tennessee are as significant as we've seen some other places. So I would think that they're in decent shape compared to other teams. So I don't know. I mean, it looks like I would put it kind of right in the middle or maybe like in the 4 or 5 range because the teams that I think are able to maintain that continuity are going to do the best because they're not going to need the acclimation period to get used to each other. And, you know, having Henry in the fold indicates to me that they want to kind of run it back with the same kind of plan, right? So, I mean, they'll have to figure something out, I guess, at a tackle where they had a big loss. But, I mean, you know, compared to other teams, I think they look like they're in pretty good shape from a continuity standpoint.
No, that's definitely true. And you mentioned run it back, and that's kind of the slogan entering this season for them to do just that, run it back and literally run it back with right. Derrick Henry. So that's a great point there. Dan, I always appreciate you joining, man. And I tell you, you know, when – we get the email and they let us know who's coming. I always get excited, man, when I know you're coming to Nashville. Not sure that's going to happen this year, man, but again, I appreciate all of the support, you know what I mean? And just to tell you, went ahead and re-up, so we're good for 2020 and 2021. We'll make it happen.
Congratulations.
Man. Yeah, thank you.
I'm thrilled to hear it. That's great.
For sure. So, yeah.
Hopefully, Teron, hopefully I will see you somewhere soon.
Definitely. Appreciate you, man. Take care.
All right.
This is J.M. Brown, and you're now talking with TD.
All right. Back from the break, talking with TD as King Just brings us back with the Warriors drum. A little bit of house cleaning as we wrap this thing up. Some news in regards to Titans rookies. Darrington Evans, he who is rated 69, tied with Christian Fulton for the highest Madden rating. But he signed his deal, so that leaves only Christian Fulton and Isaiah Wilson as the remaining draft picks from 2020 who have not signed. Positive things. I know a lot of people have asked me what's going on with the draft picks. And as we mentioned, they'll get them all done. And you see that start to happen as these guys are rolling towards checking into camp. One of the other things that kind of surfaced recently, this week especially, is the opportunity to have free agents in the building to check them out. Have your team doctors check them out. We know that Derrick Henry's deal freed up another $4 million in cap space. What better way to use that money than to sign a guy like Jadeveon Clowney? So just wanted to touch on that. And just some of the things that Clowney could do. And I would say the deal would be in the neighborhood of $12 to $15 million for this 1 year. The Titans overall, they still have space to, you know, do an extension, for a guy like a Jayon Brown or a Jonnu Smith if they choose to and have Clowney in the mix. So in my opinion, this year, that Clowney deal, it wouldn't limit the Titans as far as what they need to do and be able to do cap-wise. I could see them still having money to God forbid, an injury happens, a.k.a. Jonathan Cyprian, and they have to go out and sign a Kenny Vaccaro, I think they'll still be in a good space to be able to do that. And we have to remember, this is a camp where guys are coming in, a lot of them outside of the ones rehabbing from injury, a lot of them haven't been at the facility to work out or anything like that. That doesn't mean they weren't getting that work in, because I'm sure they were. But that being said, not having OTAs, not having mini camp, that can restrict guys and also put them in a situation where they're more susceptible to injury. So you do have to make sure you have that cap space to do that. But that being said, Clowney, just what he would do for this team this year, and it would be an audition year. And here's the thing. I think with him, I get it. It's a one-year deal. You have to understand the window, it's there for the Titans. And when you look at just how this season is, those teams who have a lot of continuity are in the best situation. So the Titans, from that perspective, are, if they sign a guy like Clowney, now roster-wise, their roster quality is elevated because he's going to make other players better. You did a one-year experiment with Vic Beasley. Go ahead and do that with Clowney. I think that would be the wise deal. And just you look at the way he would impact as far as helping the guys along that front just be better. One of the things the Titans did really well with Jarrell Casey and with Landry in tandems, and even you saw them use Casey and Kamale Correa, they stunned it really well. So you have twists and things like that going on up front. One of the best defenders in the league on those stunts is Jadeveon Clowney. So he gives you a lot more up front. And I know you're not getting a consistent 10-sack guy. He hasn't done that at all. I get it. Sacks are not the only way to measure a guy's impact. QB hits. Impact. And you hear Dean Pease. He said it multiple times. Impacting the quarterback is just as important as a sack. That could lead to interceptions, right? It could lead to, you know, incomplete passes that put them in a third and long. And now, you know, everybody could pin back and be able to rush the quarterback. The quarterback takes a chance and it's an interception. One way or another, it's always good to have a guy like Clowney on the team. If the money's there, go ahead and spend it on him. So those are just a couple things I wanted to get off my chest. And I still believe that the Clowney contract is going to happen. John Robinson has said that there's interest. And I think if you look at this offseason, he's kind of shown that he's the man of his word. He said Derrick Henry was they wanted him in the future and the present all along. They did it. He said that Ryan Tannehill was their guy. 4 years, $118 million. They did it. So all along, he said that there's interest. Now they could get him in the building and get a look at him. We'll see what happens. I think for Clowney, it's the best situation. You hit the ground running. You get into a scheme that you're familiar with. You may have to learn a few new terminology, but you have guys like Anthony Midgett, like Shane Bowen there to tell him, hey, this stunt call is the same as Tiger when we're in Houston. We just call it Panda here. Shout out Isaiah Wilson, Panda. But no, we just call it that here. So there's different things to kind of help make that transition go a lot more smoothly. So good situation for both parties. Another thing, hey, a Nashville product, man, I got to shout them out. Salute Mookie Betts. You know, sign that big-time deal. What's the terms of that?
13 years, $380 million.
Bingo. Mookie Betts, man, Nashville's finest, continues to put out the top-notch mm-hmm. product. So, shout-out to Mookie Betts on that. On that note, we are out of here. Training camp is coming, so make sure each of you stay tuned. We'll continue to bring that content that I know you want. It's going to be an interesting year, so strap up, lace up your boots. We're going to get ready to run through any obstacles that come along. Each of you, stay safe. Thanks for tuning in. God bless. Good night.